June 10th. Jesus says, if my flesh is really food, and my blood is really drink, why are your souls starving to death? Why don't you grow in the life of grace? There are many for whom it is as if my churches did not have a tabernacle. They are the ones who have repudiated or forgotten me. But there are also many who feed on me, and yet they do not progress. Whereas in others, with every union with me as Eucharist, there is an increase in grace. I will explain to you the reasons for these differences. There are the perfect, who seek me, only because they know that my joy should be received in men's hearts, and that they have no greater joy than this one, in becoming one with me. In these, the Eucharistic encounter becomes fusion, and the ardor issuing forth from me, and given off by them is so intense that, like two metals in a crucible, we become one. Of course, the more perfect the fusion is, the more the creature takes on my imprint, my properties, my beauty. Those you call saints, that is, the perfect who have understood who I am, are thus able to unite themselves to me. But into all the souls who come to me with a true impetus, and a pure heart I bring unspeakable graces and transfuse my grace, so that they proceed on the way of life, and even if they fail to reach a resounding sanctity, recognized by the world, they always reach eternal life, for whoever is in me has eternal life. For all the souls who are able to come to me, with the ardor of the former, and the trust of the latter, and which give me all that is in their power, to give me that is, all the love they are capable of, I am ready to work prodigious miracles, in order to unite myself to them. The most beautiful heaven for me is in the hearts of the creatures who love me. For them, if the rage of Satan were to destroy all the churches, I would be capable of descending from the heavens in the form of the Eucharist. My angels would bear me to the souls hungry for me, living bread descending from heaven. Besides, it's nothing new. When faith was still a flame of living love, I was capable of going to seraphic souls buried in hermitages, or in walled-up cells. Cathedrals are not necessary to contain me. A heart that love consecrates is enough for me. Even the most enormous and splendid cathedral is always too narrow, and poor for me, God, who fill all that is with myself. A human work is subject to the limitations of the human, and I am infinite. Whereas your hearts are not narrow, and poor for me, if charity sets them aflame. And the most beautiful cathedral is that of your souls inhabited by God. God is in you, when you are in grace. And it is your hearts, that God wants to make into an altar for himself. In the early times of my church there were no cathedrals, but I had a heart worthy of myself in every Christian heart. Then there are the ones who come to me, only when incited by need or spurred by fear. Then they come to knock at the tabernacle, which opens, always granting comfort, and often, if it is useful, the grace requested. But I would like man, to come to me not only to ask, but also to give. Then there are the ones who approach the table, where I become food, out of habit. In these, the fruits of the sacrament last, for that short while, during which the species last and then vanish. As they do not include any impetus in coming to me, they do not progress in the life of the Spirit, which is essentially a life of charity. I am charity and bring charity, but my charity comes to languish in these lukewarm souls, that nothing is able to heat up more. Another group is that of the Pharisees. There are some even now, it is a couch grass, that doesn't die out. They act ardent, but are colder than death. Always just like the ones who put me to death, placing themselves clearly on display, swollen with pride, full of falsehood, sure of possessing perfection, without mercy except for themselves, convinced they are an example for the world. They are instead the ones who scandalize the little ones, and separate them from me, for their lives are the antithesis of what they should be, and their piety involves form, but not substance, and, as soon as they leave the altar, turns into hardness towards their brothers and sisters. These are their condemnation, for I forgive many things, knowing your weakness, but I do not forgive a lack of charity, hypocrisy, and pride. I flee from these hearts as quickly as Eucharist has not yet made the world a heaven as it should have done. It is you that obstruct this advent of love which would save you as individuals, and as a society, if you really fed on me with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, with your will, with your strength, your intellect, in short with all your faculties. Hatreds would collapse, and with hatreds wars, there would no longer be cases of fraud of calumny, or disorderly passions creating adulteries, and, along with them, murders, the abandonment and suppression of the innocent. Mutual forgiveness would be not on your lips, but in the hearts of all, and you would be forgiven by my Father. You would live as angels, spending your days worshipping me in yourselves, and invoking me for the next coming. My constant presence in your thought would keep you far from sin, which always begins with thought's intrigue, which later translates into action, but from the heart made into a tabernacle there would emerge only supernatural thoughts, and the earth would be sanctified thereby. The earth would become an altar, an enormous altar ready to receive the second coming of the Christ, Redeemer of the world.